You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with Jesus's heart for us, just to simply be reminded of who we are as a result of his loving sacrifice. Together, let's do this. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you, and we are continuing a conversation this summer through the idea of inner life. Inner life. I guess we're also going to sing happy birthday here. Cha, cha, cha. I'm not sure whose birthday it is. I'll have to find out. Whose birthday? The Charlotte one? Oh, cool. Very cool. Every day's a good day to sing happy birthday. When we talk about the inner life, we're talking about the current, the flow within us. We use a lot of different metaphors, the current, the flow. Talk about the light. I love the children's song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. I was with a group of seniors this past week, and we were singing it, and it was so much fun to see these 80 and 90 year olds with their finger up singing, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. There's many ways that we talk about that interior life, our interior health and our interior well-being. One of the ways that Jesus talked about it and brings it to the forefront is in Matthew's gospel. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, we're just going to take a quick look at one verse from Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus is talking about what is inside and how it comes out. What's inside and how it comes out. And we've been doing a little practice of prayer and silence and listening to our Father and being open to the Spirit speaking to us through Scripture on the inside. We're going to do a little bit of that here in just a few moments. But first of all, Matthew chapter 12, we're only going to look at verse 33. Jesus' words, would you all read this with me? Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. So we're talking about fruit today. Jesus says that there is something that comes out, that comes forth. And each of us have had those moments in our lives where we were looking at the fruit that we were holding in our hands, and maybe we were saying, oh, this is not the type of fruit that I want. It's a little bit old, it's a little bit stale, it's a little bit rotten. We had a friend give us a bag of tomatoes. And y'all know what happens in a refrigerator sometimes with four kids and a husband. Sometimes things get kind of pushed to the back of the fridge and buried and covered. And so yesterday I'm going through the fridge trying to find something, and as I'm going through the fridge, guess what I found? I found that bag of tomatoes. Well, fortunately I had eaten about half of them because I love fresh tomatoes and making salsa. But the ones that I hadn't were still in that Ziploc bag, and guess what? It was not pretty fruit. It was rotten. And all I could do was take it and put it on the compost pile. That's all we can do. I have those compost pile moments in my life where I'm looking at the fruit in my hands and I'm saying, oh, this is not who I am, and this is not the fruit that I want to have in my life. A tree is going to bring several things from the elements around it. What is that? Rain. It needs moisture. Soil is going to give it what? Nutrients, the nourishment that it needs. And it needs light. So there are things that affect a tree, whether or not it's going to have good fruit or bad fruit in the production there as it comes time for harvest. And in my life, I've had those moments where garbage in, what? Garbage out. There are those times where what is coming in my life is not feeding that good fruit, that product of God's presence in my life is not being revealed. Why? Because I'm not tapping into that presence of God in my life. That good fruit is not the presence of, hey, you know what? Ryan is sitting with Jesus, but it's Ryan is running around like a chicken with its head cut off. You ever had a running around like a chicken with its head cut off moment? And you're like, I have the fruit of busyness in my life right now. What does that fruit look like and feel like? I'm tired, I'm irritable, I'm worn out, I'm burned out, maybe a little bit angry at times. Just saying. Sometimes we have those moments where we start to get filled up and it just comes out. The inner life, what does the fruit look like? This morning we're gonna specifically ask the question, when we're talking about this deep listening prayer in our lives, what is the fruit of that? Does it bring the fruit of righteousness, that connectedness to Jesus? And how can we be encouraged and strengthen that resolve to continue to listen to God through His Word in our lives, through times of stillness, times of silence? Not always glamorous, not always easy. Just like fruit takes a little while sometimes to grow. Sometimes it takes a little while, maybe a season, maybe two seasons, of getting some good nutrients. You ever get one of those plant feeder spikes out? Yeah, put that in the ground. Maybe a little weed and feed sometimes. We need to take down some weeds. What is choking out and killing that potential for that good fruit in our lives? Let's ask a question. What is the fruit of contemplation in our lives today?
The fruit of a good prayer life is a calm life, a relaxed life, a content life, because I've already talked to my Father, and I'm staying in touch with my Father. And because I have had maintained communion with my Father, then I know that I'm cared for. I know I'm loved. I'm a happy kid. And so it's the difference between a rejected child who never knows his parents and a child who's cherished by his parents. You know, two different kids are the result of those two different home lives. And the person who spends time on a constant basis receiving communion from God, he's just easier to live with. He or she's not as anxious, not as cranky, not as grumpy, not as demanding, because they're pretty content. They're satisfied by their Father.
A true lover of God once spoke about practicing God's presence. To me, that's such a part of contemplative prayer, that we are able to absorb the reality that as we commune with God through prayer, that He is with us, that His Spirit, for those of us who are in Christ, fills us, that we are drawn near to Him, that our souls find rest in Him, that we'll realize that it's not just words on a page, but it's the presence of God, the voice out of His mouth that calms us or perhaps stirs us, gives us peace, or perhaps brings us into a holy passion, that we respond to His presence.
But if we don't do it, all we are is an inner wrangling that never ceases. We move from hassle to hassle to hassle. We may stick a little Jesus in here or there. Without the silence, there's no healing. There's no health.
The practical application for the Christian for just being quiet before God and contemplative in prayer is that the benefit is lasting on a daily basis. There's a marked difference between when I get up in the morning and start my day flying out of here because I've already gotten up late and I'm behind my schedule. I never catch up. And by the end of the day, I wonder what I've accomplished. It just never pulls together. It's like a badly unraveling sweater, you know, where I pull the wrong thread and it's just falling apart. And then if I stop and say, you know, I really can't afford to take these few minutes, but I'm going to make myself stop and talk to God first. It is amazing to me how He redeems the time, how much more I get accomplished in the day, because I've put first things first. I've put my time with God first. He orders my steps because I've submitted to Him first. And I believe that there's an order to that, that when He is first, He makes everything else flow. So I get everything done that I need to get done that day. And not only do I get it done, but I get it done in excellence. He goes before me, he creates favor, he sends help, he lines things up, and I move effortlessly through that day with energy to go at the end. The other extreme is I am pooped by the end of the day and I didn't finish half of the things that were on my list. And I think that when we let God rewrite the list every morning, that we fare a lot better.
If Christ showed up on the other side of that table in that other chair and said, don't let me disturb you, go right ahead, how differently would I pray? How differently would I respond to his word if he were sitting right before me? If I really believed he were listening, that's how I want to pray. Because that's the reality of God. Christ said, I know you always hear me. I'm doing this for them. What if we prayed knowing? What if we started our prayer time saying, I know you hear me? And we prayed with that approach. I think our prayer lives would explode.
What would it look like if we prayed with that approach? Jesus, I know you're listening, so I'm going to open up the scripture. Jesus, I know you're listening, and so I am going to sit with you and I'm going to listen to what you have for me. One of the things that a life of prayer sometimes, talking about it, does in our minds is it's easy to kind of shift that over to that's for the professional. That's for the man or the woman of God who is called to maybe be a particular position within the body of Christ. That's for a pastor, or that's for a teacher or a counselor, or it's something special for those who have a special calling in their life. And yet what I appreciate about these authors and these pastors and these teachers is they're bringing the truth that Jesus is sitting across from you at the table as you drink your cup of coffee or, forgive me, your tea in the morning, and you open up your Bible and you just listen to what Scripture has to say to you. There's a whole lot of other things that it's easier to talk about. Hey, focus on this, do that, have this list or that list. And sometimes our minds will gravitate towards, that's what I'm going to focus in on. When Jesus is just saying, hey, would you just sit with me? Can I just let you know that I love you? And by the way, if you want to reciprocate, I'm listening. I'm all ears as well. There are times in each of our lives where we experience great stress, great pressure, where the things in our life are weighing us down. And it's in those times in my life that I have experienced the fruit of contemplation, that fruit of listening to God, that fruit of, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I have time to listen to what God has to say in my life. This week, my kids, actually it was last Saturday, my kids asked me, they said, Daddy, how many jobs have you had in your life? I'm kind of like, how many jobs have I had in my life? That's kind of an interesting question. And I sat back for a second. I looked at Theodosia and I'm like, you're going to have to help me with this. And so I went all the way back to my childhood. Remember your first job, maybe mowing somebody's lawn or babysitting? And we started listing. And I one finger, another finger, another finger. Pretty soon I had over 10. And then I'm like, wow, close to 20 things that I've done, 20 different hats that I've worn in my life. That was a week ago. I don't know where it came from, but yesterday morning, Amara comes to me and she's like, Daddy, how many jobs do you have today? And I said, well, that's a good question. I said, today I'm shooting a wedding. I'm going to photograph it, so I guess that's one job. And then Monday I'll see some hospice patients and I'll pray with them and do some counseling with them. I said, but tomorrow, Sunday, we'll be at One Desire. We're going to hang out with our friends and we're going to love Jesus and talk and just be together. And she's like, so you have three jobs in your life. And I said, well, yeah, but also one of my jobs is to love you and to love mommy and your siblings. And she's like, wow, you've got a lot of jobs. Each of us have a lot of jobs in our life, and there is stress and there's pressure that comes along with that. And in those moments of what am I going to draw from? I can either draw from a heart that is connected and open and listening to Jesus and his words for us, listening to what the Spirit has to flow in and then calling us to let flow out of our lives. What Father has to speak over us in those moments of stress and pressure. Each of us have those places in our lives where we look at our calendar and we say, how many jobs do I have? How am I going to make all of this happen? This morning we're going to take a look at a beautiful passage of Scripture from Psalm 25. And we're going to do this. We're going to listen to Jesus. And I will lead us through just some moments of listening to the Word and saying, okay, what do you have to speak to me in this time and in this space? Again, there's no right way to listen. Each of us listen in our own way. And if a rabbit or a squirrel comes shooting through your mind, it's okay. We all have rabbits and squirrels that as soon as we try to listen to our heart, that they're going to start jumping up and down and bouncing all over. Just say, I see you there. Keep on moving. Just let it go. Don't fight with it. Don't wrestle with it. Don't get out the 22, just let the rabbit keep on hopping by, all right? And then just come back to the Word, come back to the picture, come back to the phrase that's speaking to you in this moment. It's powerful for each of us to allow our hearts to be synced with Jesus together. It's important that we take time for our hearts to be synced together with Jesus. And God's Word gives us that ground zero to operate from. So we're gonna do that. Again, The ancient form of prayer back in the 14th century was called Lectio Divina. And it's just simply beginning with this slow reading of Scripture. And then you take some time and you kind of meditate on it. You reflect on it. What is it saying to me? Is there a word or is there a phrase that jumps out at me here in this moment? And then number three, you pray. You say, what is my action or what is my response to what Jesus is calling me to? It's never this little light of mine, I'm going to hide it under a bushel. No, it's always this little light of mine, I'm going to share that light with those around me. And then fourth, we'll just simply open up our hearts in silence and love and just say, God, thank you. Thank you for meeting with me. Jesus, thank you for sitting next to me here in this moment. And I've said this maybe 2 weeks ago, and I should probably say it again because there's those moments where we doubt or we're afraid. Is God really there? Is God really listening to me? We say, I don't even know if I believe that God is there or listening. And I would remind you that if that's where you are this morning, that's okay. Because each of us sitting here in this room have been there, or maybe we are there right now. You're not alone. What's beautiful is that science tells us 10, 15 minutes of just listening, just being quiet, just being still, will calm us down on the inside and relieve our stress. So if you're just sitting here to get some stress relief, you're welcome to do that. If you're here to listen to Jesus, that's what I'm hoping to do this morning. So everybody is welcome to participate the way that you feel like you'd like to participate. So why don't we just take a moment and just get comfortable, kind of sit back in your chair, maybe take a deep breath. And we're just going to take a look at a scripture. I'll read the scripture for us this morning and just go through this little prayer exercise for us with God's Word. We're just going to ask God's Spirit to speak to us and to lead us and direct us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that just as you are on the face of the deep and part of creation, we thank you that you are on the face of our deep right now. And whether we feel a keen sense of peace and calm in our hearts or we're struggling right now and our minds are full of rabbits and squirrels all over the place, we just thank you that you're with us and you can bring a calm. And so we just want to open up our hearts to hear you and to see you. We stand with the light of Jesus right now. We resist all darkness that would try to bring confusion or fear or doubt. We just thank you that we're not alone and that you're with us. So just take a moment, and as I read this passage, go ahead and listen for a word or a picture or a phrase that stands out to you this morning. Psalm 25, verse 4 through 6. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Now, as I read the passage again, meditate specifically on those words or maybe phrases that jumped out at you. If something didn't jump out the first time, it's okay. Just keep listening for it. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. What does the scripture passage say to you today? How is your life different from the author? Or maybe, where is there a similarity to the author's experiences with God? Thank you. as we read the scripture a third time, ask what action God may be inviting you towards. What is your response this morning to God in your life? Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Now take a few moments and pray, just simply asking God to lead you using this passage and maybe what's jumped out at you. Now we'll take a few moments and just sit in silence. As we do, just simply express your love towards God. If you get distracted or it's hard to sit silently, maybe just focus on your breath or think about one of the word pictures that are shared in this scripture. As we close our time of listening here in a special way, I just want you to imagine your Heavenly Father smiling upon you right now with gratitude that we've all just paused and said our hearts are open to what you have to speak to us. Imagine that smile. And the light that's always there, whether we stop and listen or not, that grace and that favor bestowed to each of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is living and powerful and something beautiful in each of our lives that can heal, can give us direction, give us understanding, times of seeking and searching. We thank you for the peace and the calm in the midst of the storm. Thank you, Jesus, for sitting with us this morning. Thank you for your invitation for us to sit with you. We bless your name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll close with "I belong to you," but before we do, let's read this together, Psalm 25, verses 4 through 6. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.